Auburn has a big official visitor coming in Friday. Is Deuce locked in? And which freshman's going to make the biggest impact? It's time for another Barn takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. It's my favorite part of the dadgum week. It's time for a Barn takeover, where all the content is submitted from members of thebarnauburn.com. You can sign up today and be a part of the action at thebarnauburn.com and take $25 off your membership, annual membership for 2025. So annual membership, only $75. So carries you all the way through, obviously, this season, all the way to this point next year, which will get you through recruiting, portal, the season, everything, and then see if you like it. And then we'll obviously, you'll jump in all the great conversations and everything that goes on at the Barn. We've got some really cool film breakdowns coming. A lot of good stuff happening, so check us out, thebarnauburn.com. Without further ado, let's dive into the questions. Let's dive into the questions and have some fun. Brett Moran, look, find somebody that loves you like Brett Moran loves Omar Mabson. There is nobody on the earth that loves Omar Mabson more than Brett Moran, and I get it because the kid can play. So here's his question. Are you still feeling good about Omar, and how many – running backs will Hugh want in the 2026 class? I still feel fantastic about Omar Mabson. He comes in for an official visit, actually, on Friday. So tomorrow he'll be here for an official visit. And it's interesting, he's coming in with during Junior Day, which is, if you remember, he reclassified. So this would technically be all the kids that were in his recruiting class. So he's gonna come in for an official visit. Wouldn't shock me if he committed. He was actually scheduled for a visit to Alabama last weekend, and I haven't seen anything. I'm not sure if he even made that visit. Obviously, Auburn's put a huge emphasis on him, adding him to this class. That's the running back that they've had circled for a couple of years now. The kid just is unreal. I think like 7A back of the year, something like that, in 7A as a junior, even though, again, he reclassified. Last year he played as a junior. He just can kind of do it all. He's a little bit smaller in stature, but he's still close to 200 pounds, can absolutely fly, can do it all. I think Auburn loves him. Get him in here on official visit and around all the guys that are his age. And then signing day is, I guess it would be the first Wednesday in February. So I guess that would be what? That would be February the 5th. So we're just under 2 weeks away from signing day. I think obviously Auburn expects him to be in the class. So feel really good. He should enjoy his visit this weekend and Auburn make a big impression. I don't know that he has anything set up for next weekend, which I guess would technically be the last weekend that he could visit. So we'll see what happens, but feel good about Auburn there. And then the second part of your question, how many backs will Hugh want for the 2026 class? Well, if you land Omar, now you got five running backs. You have Damari Austin. You got Jeremiah Cobb. You have Darrell Robinson. And then you have Alvin Henderson. And then you'd have Omar Mabson for this 2025 season. So the only one you really lose that you're guaranteed to lose would be Damari. So you already have four running backs sort of slated in for the 2026 season. It's hard to imagine you'd be able to take more than one unless it's two completely different types of players. And I'm looking at a lot of the guys on the visit list, and it does running back target list and offers, and it does seem like there's a little bit of a type, I guess, a little bit bigger is what I'm noticing. So I think that could be, 200 plus pound type running backs. That looks like what Auburn's looking at. So I think if I had to guess, I'd say just one running back for 2020 in the 2026 class. Great question though. Feel good about Omar. I feel really, really good about Omar. D. Moultrie, over under new commitment announcements during and after junior day. Okay, I thought really hard about this, and I'm going to put it at 1.5 because I think you pretty much you're probably going to get one out of that 2026 class. Could it be a guy like, could it be a guy like Trenton Henderson that's, you know, from Pensacola Catholic, I believe, 4-star edge? Could it be a guy? He's really, really high on Auburn. Could it be a guy like, C.D. Morgan has had a lot of Auburn predictions. I think his will go a little bit later on, but could you have a blockbuster commitment there? Vodney Cleveland, another guy that's got Auburn ties who decommitted from Alabama after being committed to Alabama for 10 minutes. He's coming in. Marquez Daniel, the 4-star wide receiver from Booker T. Washington. I think he's slowly, as Auburn's getting to know him more and been able to evaluate him a little bit more in depth, I think he's moving up Auburn's list. I think you definitely get one. I feel like you get at least one out of the 2026 class, either during or shortly after. Could have Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is another one, linebacker from Grayson that's been here a bunch. It's really high on Auburn. So I feel pretty good that you're going to get one out of the 2026 class. But could you go ahead and get Omar Mabson to commit this weekend? So that's kind of where I'm coming with the 1.5 line. So I think you got a possibility of getting at least two, maybe more. We'll see. But I would set the line at 1.5. And right now, I think I'd take the over. I feel safe that you could get at least one commit out of the 2026 class. And then I think there's a better odds that you get another one out of either another 2026 kid or maybe get Omar to shut it down on his official visit. I think that would be pretty exciting. He'd get to come here, and it's an official visit. So that they have that stupid rule that you can't take pictures unless you're on an official visit. So he can come in, get his pictures, get his graphic made in the Auburn gear, and then maybe announce his commitment shortly thereafter. So I'm going to say over 1.5 by, let's say, Tuesday. Just something. Let's just see what happens. So over 1.5 by Tuesday. I think that's fair. I don't think that's really pushing it or booging out too hard. Tutter. I think Tutter also just joined, which is awesome. I was looking at him being added to. I've noticed the name for the first time, and then I think it was somewhere early December. So we're still adding new folks every single day. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Welcome, Tutter. What's your favorite uncommitted target in the 2026 class for Auburn? Okay, so let's do this. Let's say I'm going to do an offense and a defense, and I'm just going to go with guys that are visiting this weekend. How about that? That way I'll narrow it down because it's a massive list. So offense, I kind of already mentioned one of them. I think my favorite guy out of this class is going to be C.D. Morgan, the wide receiver from Benjamin Russell for now. We'll see if he transfers to Auburn or Opelika. I'm not really sure. I've heard a lot of stuff about that, him possibly getting closer to campus, but we'll see. 6'5", 210, can kind of do it all. I think he started off, everybody kind of thought he would just be sort of like an in-betweener tight end. But I think after his season last year, he showed, no, he's a wide receiver. He is a freakish, big NFL body wide receiver. Looks a lot like, I think it was Mike Williams to me that was at USC. Yeah, Mike Williams. I remember him. If you remember him, he caught a bunch of touchdowns against Auburn in 2023. He was that just big, freakish 6'5", 220. Wasn't super fast, but caught everything. CD is a much more electric athlete, maybe even more closer to Calvin Johnson than Mike Williams. But regardless, I think that's my favorite offensive guy. Xavier Crowell would be a an honorable mention. He is the guy that just reclassified, the running back from Jackson. That kid's a stud. Golly, he's a beast. We talked about him on the show, I think, yesterday. So he'd be an honorable mention number two. And then my favorite defensive guy in this class, uncommitted. I really like Vodney Cleveland. Can you imagine? I'm gonna take a page from Zach Blackerby here. Can you imagine last football season? You're just a run of the mill Alabama high school team, and you're going up against Parker. And let's say you're the running back for just an average high school team, or no? Let's say you're the center. Let's say you're the center for like just insert average to below average high school football team in Alabama, going up against Parker, and you have Jordan Crawford, and you line up and you look down, you get the play, you know what you got to do, and you get over the ball and you look up, and to the one side you got Vodney Cleveland, and to the other side you have Jordan Crawford. What a nightmare. What an absolute nightmare. What are you going to do? And hopefully, that is a theme that could carry into the SEC and carry into college football, and Auburn can land this kid because he's probably my favorite player in the class. Jordan Crawford was one of my favorite players in the last class, and Vodney Cleveland's going to – I think he's one of my favorite players in this class. 6'2", 6'3", 305, just – I mean, I think he could play this year in college football. He's just built for college football. He's built for that interior defensive line. So C.D. Morgan and Vodney Cleveland, those are my two favorites. Big AU fan 33, who leads the AU backfield in touches for the 2025 season? That's a tough one. So touches would be all around. So if you count kickoff returns, that's going to put Jeremiah Cobb very close to the top. But as just far as carries and receptions, man, I think that's going to be as 50-50 as you possibly can be. But if I had to guess, I would say Damari right now. But I don't think it's going to be anything super significant. To me, Damari is a little bit more, I don't want to say explosive, but he has a little bit better vision right now, just based off what I've seen. Who knows what happens in this offseason? Jeremiah Cobb could explode and be the number one guy. But I've just the carries that I've been able to see, they used Cobb to really try to get outside, and then Damari could run a little bit everywhere. He could run outside. He could run between the tackles. Didn't really see Cobb have a ton of success between the tackles. But then you flip it around on the gadget game or the passing game, and I think Cobb's the guy. So I think it'll be probably as close to a 50-50 split as you can possibly be, but I'd give the edge to Damari as far as getting the most carries, at least at the beginning of the season, and then who knows what happens after that. So let's just go with Damari for now, and we'll see what happens as the season progresses. Good question, though, because we have two pretty talented backs, a pretty solid 1-2 punch. This is a really interesting question. I had a really I'll say deep conversation about this earlier in the week. So it's funny that you asked it. So say Jackson Arnold comes in, Auburn wins 8 or 9 games, and ultimately he returns for his senior season. In other words, like has a solid season. Auburn has success, but nothing to just like wow the scouts or wow everybody into playing his way into being one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. Very, very possible that could happen. Is it crazy to think that Deuce may never be quarterback at Auburn if that happens? So let's look at when Jackson Arnold committed to Auburn. If I'm not mistaken, Jackson Arnold committed to Auburn around, I think it was December 14th. Okay, that was shortly after the portal opened. And let's see, December 14th. Oklahoma quarterback transfer Jackson Arnold signs with Auburn. Okay, so Deuce signed the couple weeks before. Jackson Arnold signs on December 14th. Move-in day at Auburn was January 13th, okay? So 1 month goes by that Deuce knows that Jackson Arnold is the quarterback. Okay. And you just saw Walker White leave shortly after Jackson Arnold signed, citing that, you know, he didn't say this out loud until he got, you know, to Baylor and did an interview, but everybody knew it, citing that, you know, Jackson Arnold's a 2-year guy. Now I got to wait 3 years to start instead of two. So Walker White was on this 2-year mindset before he'd have a shot to be the starter. Okay, so that's the reason he left, because now he's going to have to wait 3 years. Deuce knows as soon as December 14th that Jackson Arnold is coming in, and Jackson Arnold's probably going to be a 2-year guy. We've seen already a quarterback, the kid, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, who committed and signed with Oregon, enrolled at Oregon, 5-star quarterback from Hawaii, and went through practices at Oregon. And I think he realized playing right away was very important for him. I think he realized it was going to be hard for him to beat out, the guy that transferred there from UCLA, Dante Moore, maybe? I think that may be his name. So this kid, yeah, Dante Moore, he went through practices, was enrolled, decided, hey, I'm probably not going to be able to start day one here, so I'm going to go in the portal immediately. So he committed and signed in December, enrolled in December, went in the portal in December because the portal period was open. And then went to Cal, ended up signing with Cal. So that's an example, and that is precedent of a kid who got somewhere that things didn't play out the way he thought it was going to play out, and he was still able to have enough time to go into the portal and change schools before he ever played a down in college football. Deuce could have done that. If Deuce didn't have an idea that he could have to sit for 2 years, Deuce could have done that. Deuce could have gone in the portal. He could have easily gone to Ole Miss. He could have easily gone to Notre Dame. Both of those schools would have loved to have him. But he didn't. He stayed. Excuse me. He stayed, and he's enrolled now. He's already working out. So you got to have – I feel like he had to have known that Jackson Arnold's probably going to be, you know, at worst a 2-year guy. I mean, sorry. Yeah, at worst a 2-year guy. At best, maybe he comes in and plays 1 year and goes. Now, could he have thought Auburn very similar to Walker White? Could he have thought and been told that we're going to try to get a 1-year guy and then you can compete after 1 year? Sure. That's probably what he was told. And I think that was the goal. That guy just didn't show up. But, again, I look at that time frame, December 14th, January 13th. He moved in on January 8th. So, like, he had a month where he could have changed his mind and gone elsewhere and found a better route if he wanted to play after year one or play immediately than as it sits at Auburn. Now, it is a bit of a headache. It would be a bit of a headache to unenroll, re-enroll, and figure out where you're going to go. Now, you would only have had to move one time, more than likely. I don't exactly know 100% what all has to happen to make that happen. I know you'd have to be enrolled at Auburn, and then you'd have to go into the portal. So you'd have to enroll in Auburn. I don't know if necessarily he'd have to be moved in. Then you'd have to unenroll and then re-enroll somewhere else before classes started. That could have been easily done. Easily done, if that's what he wanted to do. It would have been a little bit of a headache, but that could have been easily done if he was that concerned about it. So I think he's good. I think he's good for 2 years. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe – it's also, again, it's very possible that he thought it was too big of a hassle and he'll just reevaluate it in December. So we'll see what happens. But I think with the time frame and when things happen and the options that he had on the table and he still stayed with Auburn, I think we're good there. I think Deuce has a really good shot to compete as the starter in 2027, yeah, and kind of be the guy moving forward from there. So let's see what happens. Just a couple more. Which freshman do you think makes the biggest impact? I got to go to position of needs, look at positions of need. and see which ones I think could possibly play right away. I feel like Auburn's a little bit thin in the interior of the defensive line. So could a guy like Malik Autry or Jordan Crawford, I could see either one of those if they're coming in ready to play. Malik Autry had a really good week at the, I guess it was the U.S. Army All-American Bowl practicing, looking like he's, you know, if there were some questions about him there, but I think his size and everything really showed that he can play. Jordan Crawford, obviously, I think he's going to be have the best career out of anybody in the class. So I would look at one of those two guys. And then I would just say pick one of those two guys, probably have the bigger impact. And then it just seems like Eric Winter is just going to find somewhere to have success on the field. I know safety, there's maybe one of those spots is kind of up for grabs. But yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with one of the two big defensive tackles, or maybe like an Eric Winter, just because I think he's just a freak that you're going to have a hard time keeping him off the field. And then so that's my answer for that one. Last one, this one's kind of a fun one, and I have no idea how to answer this one. Rhett Lashley Burner, which is a great name. He cracks me up on the board too. Which player, not named Dylan Gentry, because Dylan Gentry would be the one that has the greatest playlist, has the best Spotify playlist. Best, what does best mean? Best, most interesting, most unique. Like, what do all those things mean? It's tough. It could mean a thousand different things. I feel like Broderick Scholes is going to have a very unique playlist when he gets here. You know, a guy that's done like Shakespeare plays and classical music. He could have a very unique, well-rounded playlist. But I'm going to say if I can't pick Dylan Gentry, I just got to pick his guy, Cam Coleman. I think it's going to be because Cam Coleman's probably going to get a lot of information from Dylan Gentry on you know, the best play, because Dylan Gentry, without a doubt, has the best playlist. There's no question at all there. So I'm going to say Cam Coleman's got a little copycat action, and he's going to steal some on his playlist from Dylan Gentry. So that's my answer with that one. So that's all the questions for today. Guys, you can jump in the action too just by signing up for thebarnauburn.com. It's a lot of fun, just stuff like this. And then the content, the information, the conversation, if you can catch me here every day, once a day, you can catch me there all day, and along with Zach Blackerby and all the other cast of characters that you see. So a lot of fun. You guys need to join in. It's thebarnauburn.com. Take $25 off for 2025, and just jump in and get after it. So guys, that's it for today. I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. I'd love to know some of the answers to those questions from you. I'd love to know in the comments. Hit me in the comments and let me know who your favorite player in the class, this upcoming class, uncommitted, is. Let me know who you think is your biggest impact freshman and all that good stuff. So if you like, again, we'll talk again soon. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.